program? Because I see a beast in you, man. You've been balling this year.
You know, not too much different. You know, I think each year is a new year. Of course, I've been dealing with some injuries in the past years that, you know, have kept me out of some games. And, you know, dealing with that is tough. But, you know, it's adversity that makes you, you know, who you are. And so throughout my career, you know, dealing with various things over the years. But like I said, this year is a new year. And, you know, I was excited to get out there and, you know, show what I can do and help my team win games.
Eric, you coming into this year, and there were a lot of national media that thinks this team's really on the rise. Other people maybe are saying, you know, it's going to be tough to go from 4 to 10 wins or whatever it will take to make the playoffs. You guys are 2-0, and the question we've been asking our audience is the same one I'm going to ask you. How good can this team be?
I mean, I think we can be as good as we want to be. You know, whether outside people are saying what we can do or what we can't do, you know, that's, it all's going to come down to us and what we actually go out on the field and do. And so that's what we're focused on, staying tight as a unit, staying tight as a team, taking it week by week and trying to go out there and dominate who we play against.
Eric, a lot of people think pro athletes are robots and, you know, they just show up, they do their job and go home. But you guys are 2-0. You got a home opener against the Pittsburgh Steelers this Sunday. When you think about that game, how much impact does the crowd have? Because we've been talking about it better be sold out and it better be loud. But can you talk about, as a pro athlete, what that does to you and how it helps you guys play that game?
Oh, man, it's the most important, you know, just the energy in the stadium. You know, nobody wants to, you know, play football in front of nobody. And so having those fans there, having it loud, having the energy in the stadium, it ignites us as a team. And especially, you know, playing defensive line my entire life, crowds, the noise of the crowd has an impact on the game. And when we get out there on third down, and the crowd is loud, and the quarterback and O-line can't communicate, and it's tough on them. That helps us do our job. So definitely excited to get out there and, you know, get this home opener started and, you know, see how excited our fans are.
Eric Armstead here on 95.7 The Game. How has new defensive line coach Chris Kocurek helped you out? When I was out there at training camp, man, he was barking. He had me fired up, Eric. And I haven't, you know, I'm nowhere near the player you guys are down there at Santa Clara. How has he helped you this season in this new wide nine scheme that helped you with your leverage and getting off the football?
Oh, man, it's been great. You know, he wants to cut us free, attack, and play aggressive style football. You know, when he came in, I met with him, and he's a really great guy. He's passionate about defensive line, and that's what he knows, that's what he loves, and that's the only thing he wants to do is coach D line. And so, having him here, leading us, helping us, in years of knowledge and experience, and the way he wants to play, has been great. And I think you know, it has shown off early in these games.
You like tackle or defensive end better?
I mean, I play both. So, I mean, base downs, I play DN, and then on third down, I go play D tackle where I rush inside. So, it's whatever people want to call it.
Do you feel like you're better at one than the other, or you're more comfortable at one than the other, or it doesn't matter? You feel like you can do both equally well?
Yeah, I think I'm versatile and I can do both equally well. I think that, you know, I have a unique size and athleticism that gives me the ability that I've been blessed to play DN and D tackle. And I think that versatility helps me. It helps me when I go out there and get to play against different guys who, you know, I get to give a different look to. And when I go inside, they're not expecting it. And then when I'm on the outside, so it allows me to move around and do a lot of things that my team needs me to do for us to be successful.
Hey, Eric, I'm going to share with you our text line. That's when people text in to our show, and it says, "I donated!" exclamation point, and I'm a Raider fan, but the only thing I support more than my team is a great cause. Thanks for setting up something so nice for our community, Eric. And that's from Jen, the dog walker in Oakland. So great stuff, Eric. Keep it up, man.
That's dope. I appreciate you, Jim.
Absolutely. Yep. Eric Armstead, thank you so much on the Dial Pad guest line.
So crowds do mean stuff.
Oh, no doubt.
He's there in front of nobody, but they better be sold out this Sunday.
And you know what? Teams coming in there like we talked about before the season. This is why I want Levi's to be hyped up. If you're not going to be hyped up for this team during this, they have a winning team right now through 2 weeks. Mason Rudolph, he should not be able to audible.
Oklahoma
with a starting eight. And I need the crowd on their feet. He needs to be able to, I can't hear anything. Tomlin, timeout. I can't hear. The green dot helmet's not working. This crowd, these guys come in at Levi Stadium, Guru, they're walking up and down the line, audibly checking, no false starts. That needs to change this Sunday.
Snoddy, I think it will.
I don't know. I think it's going to be a gradual build.
And you don't want to hear the pay. We want to see asses in seats.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Don't show me. Don't show me three quarters of red.
Yeah. Don't. I don't want to hear about the sun, Steiny. Yeah. Go get a bucket hat. Go get an umbrella. Yep. Go get some water. Get a towel. Do what you got to do. Come on, man. It's enough is enough with Levi's.
Yeah. Or if not a bucket hat, I'd go with a sombrero.
It's a sombrero.
I love my boy Carrington has a sombrero.
Well, you know what else is the one thing about a baseball cap. It's still going to get you on the back of the neck if you don't have long hair. So that's why I prefer a bucket hat, a sombrero, or one of those, what are they called? You sometimes see them like guys who are hunting. What's it called?
I should know.
Is it a pith helmet? I think it's got a little
never
brim
been hunting,
on it.
Steiny.
Never?
Wow, never.
Yeah, that's Goo. You know, Goo's a hunter, don't
you? You're a hunter?
Yeah.
Deer hunt,
really? Yeah.
You go in my Norm's garage all the years. The
antlers? You guys got antlers up there?
Right there.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying I walk into your garage, I'm going to see a number of
at least
deer
12
heads.
Yeah, and I've been on the trip. And then there were some mornings, it would be out about 4 in the morning, it'd be dark, and I'd say, Dad, it's too cold. So I'd stay in the car, and then he would go by himself, and then I'm asleep about 7:30, sun out, and I'd hear a knock on the window. It's my dad with blood on his hand. So he wouldn't have to say anything. He'd give me that Johnson smile, and that let me know he got one. And then I'd go down and help him drag it out.
Who's your taxidermist?
We got a butcher, but I don't know taxidermist. I've never heard of
that. Well, it's the guy who stuffs the head. I mean, you don't just put a deer head up on the wall. I mean,
have the head. Norm don't have the head. It's just the antlers. Yeah.
So wait, what did they do with the head? They take out the brains and then they stuff things in?
Yeah, of course.
Taxidermist?
I got to bring you some breakfast sausage, deer salami, and venison.
I need to find out if there's any carbs in venison, though. I'm cutting out carbs right now.
You're looking good.
I don't think there's a lot of carbs in meat, so I'd bring it in, baby. Bring it in.
Well, we got to get a deer.
I'm a city kid. I don't know anything about hunting.
We're on a little drought.
I'm lost in this conversation.
Never shot a gun?
I shot a gun.
A rifle?
BB Jackson and Arms down in South City.
I shot a BB gun.
Yeah.
Jackson and Arms down in South City. Camp Mendocino. Oh, we shot some rifles, never been hunting.
BB gun. Camp Conrad Weiser.
Yeah.
Circa 1973.
Camp, right out of D5 zone.
Let's go to Tony in Pacifica. What's up, Tony? All right, get Tony.
Tony on hold. He's hot.
Tony,
hot. That was like Sons of Anarchy.
Hang on. Now, the beautiful thing is there's a slight delay in radio, so maybe Tony will hear me telling him. Who are you yelling at, Tony?
Maybe they were fighting to get
on. Hey, Tony, 888-957-9570. Who are you pissed at? Tony, not happy.
Yeah, that was heated.
So, hey, I got a stat.
Sorry.
I got a great stat for you guys. Great stat. Total quarterback hits through week two.
Wow.
San Francisco, 3. No quarterback's been hit less than the 49ers quarterback this year. Only 3 times.
And do you think that's going to be put to the test without Staley?
You know how many hits the Miami quarterback, whoever the hell it is?
I'm going to say 23.
They are?
24. Wow.
And they're keeping Ryan Fitzpatrick. Poor Josh Rosen. First 2 years in the league. One with Arizona. They stink. He gets hit a lot. Now he's in Miami, and it's just a matter of time before he's going to be the whipping boy out there.
Maybe Ray Ratto can do it, but who can – or J.D. But how do you really determine if the Dolphins, this is the worst team that we've ever seen? Because we've had a team not win a game.
We've had a team go 0-16.
We had two teams.
I think you got to let it play out.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know what?
Dallas is favored by 21.
This happens a lot in the NBA. When a team gets off to a 2-16 start, and you're like, oh, my God.
And then they pick it up.
Yeah, and then they start winning games. Like, oh, look at them. They beat.
I don't see that with Miami.
I don't know.
I don't know about them, man. That is a bad, bad football team.
Couple things real quick. 650 says, I used to work for a taxidermist. All you do is skin the deer head, and then you wrap it around a foam mold, and then you stitch it up.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't do that. I'd be unemployed.
Well, that's what taxidermists do. Yeah. And then how Steiny playing golf without carbs? Oh, a lot of vodka. Antonio in Oakland, what's up, man? How you doing, Antonio?
Hey, guys, you know, Levi's Stadium will be rocking on Sunday. I'll be there. I'm not sure if I wear my bucket cap or my fitted hat or whatever. But, you know, feels good right now. You know, the A's, you know what I'm saying, we're riding high to the playoffs. Certainly looking like it. My 49ers were 2-0. And then there's rumors about my favorite non-Warrior player over the last 3 years, Giannis, coming to the Warriors.
Yeah. You know what? Antonio.
You got to give him this, dude.
Antonio, he can prep.
Yeah. Yep.
Antonio, when's Giannis a free agent?
I think after 2020, right?
That's correct. Well, after 2021. He's got this upcoming year and next. All right?
Okay. Hashtag trade D'Angelo Russell for him at the deadline.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, that. Wow. Okay. All right. At that point, Steph Curry will be making $47 million. Klay will be making $40 million. Draymond will be making $30 million+, and D'Angelo Russell will be making $30 million+.
Damn!
How are you going to get him? How are you going to get him?
Throw in Draymond, I guess. I mean, they'll figure a way.
Well, no, you know what? And you're absolutely right. It's possible, but I do think some Warrior fans are thinking, well, we're going to get Giannis. We'll still have Curry. We'll have Klay. We'll have
you get Giannis, you can let three people go.
Get the Splash Brothers and you bring it home, man. I don't even want to start that conversation because it's so far away.
Is there any better nickname for a backcourt in the history of the NBA than the Splash Brothers? And the two shoot and they're from the Bay?
Hey, the Splash Brothers.
Is that the nickname? Who came up with it?
Just wait. I'll come up with one. But let me think.
The Splash and being from the Baby.
Splash Brothers,
come on,
man.
Who came up with that? They deserve something.
Brian Witt apparently came up with that.
Wow, we got a name.
Yeah, Brian Witt came up with it. I think he works for NBC now.
I want to give B a compliment real quick, Snotty.
Well, feel free.
And the text line, him telling Armstead he came down this road, I got to.
That was self-serving.
I thought you were always going to be great.
Because you know what?
You did good with that one,
a lot of people, you probably got it. You're not going to say that to the player's face.
No. I was kidding. I mean, listen.
I was like, oh.
That's the best way to form a relationship with another human being.
Wow.
Some of my good relationships with athletes came from a disagreement at first.
Because you're Steph Skip Bayless, and he did a sit-down with you.
What?
Wow.
What are you talking about?
Wow.
Why would you even bring, like...
That's a compliment.
No, it isn't. The guy's a buffoon.
No, Skip, you know, he's working the Bay. But my point is, you didn't doubt him. You were honest with your assessment, and then you did the truck. You backed up and said, you know what?
You see his wife, Ernestine?
Problem is, what happens when Armstead has three bad games in a row?
Hey, Eric.
It's
fun. Like when you go, like Andre Ward, for example, we came by the studio at our old building and sat down with him and I said, hey, Andre, I'm not going to lie to you. I thought you lost the Kovalev
fight. That's your line.
I thought you lost the Kovalev fight. And he goes, oh, I respect your opinion. I said, look, I thought he did this and that. But
this is Andre Ward?
Andre Ward.
You said this to him?
Yeah, absolutely.
You should have said, your nickname should be changed to Son of Judges.
Oh, see, I
think you would have liked that one.
Yeah. I'm not getting a two-piece of the biscuit, Steiny.
I'm still waiting on that nickname for the backcourt. That's Splash Brothers, man.
It's Splash Brothers.
I kind of like the three J's. Remember that?
Jamal, Jason Kidd.
Yeah, and Jimmy Jackson.
Tony Braxton broke them up, though.
I don't like that. The three J's. They weren't around too long.
I just need the break, and I'll come up with
it.
Kevin in San Francisco. What's up, Kevin?
Ernestine, I saw her.
Looks like
I love this show. I'm driving right now, so I don't know if you guys can hear me too well, but I just wanted to talk about my 49ers, Jimmy G, and the potential of Jalen Ramsey joining our secondary. I think I love Jalen Ramsey. I love the idea. I think that the Niners are, we have a GM in John and a coach in Kyle and just a staff in general that knows how to pick later in rounds. We know how to identify talent that people don't know about. For example, what we had with the senior boy in college and Kyle being there was huge for us. So I think giving up a first-round pick is going to be beneficial, but I think we first have to really, really know that Jalen Ramsey can take us from a possible playoff to really actual contender in the NFC.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Kevin. Thanks for the call. I think the 49ers are, you know, they're being cautious right now. They probably don't feel any sense of urgency, I wouldn't think. Though they do have to deal with the Joe Staley situation. Yeah. But I think the 49ers are in a great spot right now.
Another thing, too, Steiny, if they make a trade for a guy like Jalen Ramsey or Trent Williams, all of a sudden the expectations are higher. I think the Niners right now like kind of being in the laying in the weeds a bit. They're not being
the
talked
underdog.
About. Yeah, they want to play this underdog role.
Hold on. We had, who was it? Our guy, Peter King, said they're supposed to, so he's not surprised. And who else co-signed?
Yeah, but nobody's really talking about them yet. You know what I mean? Nobody's really, I don't think anybody's really taking the Niners
injuries are ruining it for the Niners through 2 weeks because that's superseding everything.
Yeah.
The Niners got an injury, damn it. Joe Staley's a big deal. He ain't a quarterback. He's a big deal. We're going to see Sunday.
The first hit Garoppolo takes on Sunday, everybody's going to be like,
Steiny, that's a big position, man.
It's a big game.
It is. By the way, shout out to Jen, the dog walker,
for that text. What'd she say?
It was the text I read to Eric Armstead. Did you know I read a text to Eric Armstead?
Yeah, that was.
Did you hear that?
No, that was awesome. I didn't know it came from.
Hello?
Yeah, that was from
Steiny. He was lost.
No, that hit.
Yeah, he was getting lost.
He was getting lost.
In your mind, you were in Monterey.
Yeah, look,
he's getting lost at a gram or something.
Wow. No, that was a great text.
Here's something that I do want to get into. Barry Zito, y'all know who he is.
Wow.
Former pitcher for the A's and the San Francisco Giants. Remember when he was left off the playoff roster?
How can I forget?
In 2010.
He stunk.
He wrote his memoir. He had a little problem with dudes writing their memoir, but that's fine. That's fine.
I like him.
Give me a president of the United States. Give me a secretary of state. I don't know about a guy that had an ERA over 4 for the last 7 years of his career. Anyway, now Zito is a guy I do respect. Anyway, so here's what Zito said about 2010 when he got left off the Giants roster. I rooted against the team because my ego was in full control, and if we lost, then I could get out of there, Zito said. It would A, prove they couldn't do it without me, and B, take me out of the situation because I was so miserable coming to the field every day. That's via Ann Killian of the San Francisco Chronicle, who talked to Zito about his book. And surprising?
You know what? It's refreshing to hear an athlete say he hated on his own team. And I believe Carson Wentz did this when he watched Nick Foles lead the Eagles through the playoffs. It's a natural. Come on, if I'm out of this radio station and they bring Elena in and then you guys skyrocket and you're my girl to number one, I'm going to love you guys, but I'm going to be like, wow, man, they don't miss on goo.
You think Joe Montana rooted against Steve Young in the 92 minutes?
Of course he did.
Yes.
Yes. He was like kind of sitting there on the sideline like, ha.
Don't make you a bad person. It's natural, right, Steiny?
That's cold-blooded.
It's natural. You left them off.
You know what? Let's ask. Is it unacceptable? Or is it actually human nature for a player to root against the team that's demoted him or the player that's now playing ahead of him? 888-957-9570. Do we give Zito props for being honest? Or is it just absolutely unacceptable to ever root against your team or a teammate? First, let's go to Elena, find out what's going on 95.7 The Game.
Thanks, Steiny. What's happening on The Game brought to you by Nutrisystem for Men. The 2-0 49ers are gearing up for their first home game this Sunday against the Steelers. Terrell Owens joins Joe Lowe and Dibs every Tuesday. This morning, he had high praise for what he's seen from the Niners.
49ers, they're playing well. I think Jimmy G is going to get better and better. They're winning in pretty much all phases of the game. Everybody's contributing. You know, it's only going to get better.
Listen to Chio's full interview on demand at 957thegame.com or stream it on the go anywhere you go using the radio.com app. Top headlines around the NFL include Jaguars starting running back Jalen Ramsey requesting a trade out of Jacksonville and the 15-year Eli Manning era coming to a close in New York. 95.7 The Game NFL insider Peter King will weigh in when he joins Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky today at 5 o'clock. Sponsored by Nutrisystem for Men, see how simple losing weight can be with Nutrisystem. The meals come to your door, you eat the food and lose the weight. Order at Nutrisystem.com/radio. Restrictions apply, call or see website for details. I'm Elena Mazzorkas on the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Well, Guru, you're right. So far, I haven't come up with a better nickname than Splash Brothers. But the more I think about it, it's, I mean, is there ever a nickname for two teammates? You know what I mean?
But they coincide with the city that they're in.
If you Google, like, best nicknames, you just can't, so you get one guy at a time. So I can't even think of any other nickname. Oh, well, that's not one.
And I'm going all sports now.
Like the Bruise Brothers back in Washington.
What about the Purple People Eaters?
You don't even know who was in the Bruise Brothers. You didn't even let me finish.
Broad Street Bullies.
That was nice.
No, well, that was mostly about a team.
As I Google.
Rick Mahorn and Jeff Ruland.
Old Washington Bullets.
Otherwise
Jeff
known
Ruland.
As McFilthy and McNasty.
Man, they put you on your ass.
Like the Bad Boys wouldn't count. Right?
It's a team.
Dumars and Isaiah didn't have
how about the Bash Brothers?
Now that
McGuire and Canseco.
But Oakland
that's
had
bigger.
Nothing to do with
Bash.
The Splash
that's better.
Is the water.
I like Bash better.
I like Splash Brothers.
And Purple People Eaters because the Vikings were purple. Because
you know what takes away the Bash Brothers? They were juicing. So, of course, they were bashing. They were bashing a needle and a ball.
Like Legion of Boom?
Yeah. And the Bash Brothers, Legion you got to remember, good. Were also from the movie The Mighty Ducks.
No, Bash Brothers?
Yeah.
Mighty Duck?
You didn't watch that?
I stayed out of that one.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember the Bash Brothers. The guys who came in season two.
There we go.
And they played against Iceland. Yeah, 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 yeah. Iceland.
Oh, wait a minute. I have a better one.
Give it to me.
Run TMC.
No.
But Run TMC was from New York.
Hey, you know what?
Queens.
Hey, Splash Brothers, when you get a burger named after you, come talk to me.
Ricky Sports Bar. They got burgers named after... I think Damien got a burger.
No, I'm talking about actually...
Oh, I hear you.
Like, what was it? Burger King? It was like Burger King or McDonald's. The
Splash Brothers are above that. They're above that.
Yeah.
They're going to have a burger at... They probably got a dish name at their... International Smokehouse with Aisha. I mean...
Yep.
All right, we're talking about Barry Zito.
Wow.
Barry Zito in 2010 left off the San Francisco Giants playoff roster, and... He wrote his memoir and talked to Ann Killian of the Chronicle recently, and he basically said he rooted against the team. And he also says that it cost him his friendship with Brian Wilson, the reliever at the time, because Brian Wilson was getting all the attention that year. And believe it or not, they were really good friends, and it bothered Zito, and it affected their relationship. And here's the way I was thinking about it. He was left off the roster. So I think it's natural for him to root against that team. Now, if he were on the roster and Bochy said, I'm not using you to start. I'm only using you, in long relief if we're way up or way down. Then I might have a problem if that's the way he feels. But he kind of wasn't on the team that year, right?
But aren't you
brothers? I mean, wasn't on the roster at that point.
For the playoff roster,
But aren't you brothers, Bonte?
Did he get a ring that year?
He did get a ring.
Isn't it bigger than you?
You know what? And a guy who signed a 7-year, $126 million deal, it's a little selfish. It's not surprising, but it's a little selfish to be there in that clubhouse day in and day out as the big money pitcher, and then all of a sudden you're in. Yeah. That was year four for his Giants tenure. You're 9-14. I mean, you're giving up hits.
You earned being off. You earned being off.
Kane, Jonathan Sanchez, and a young Bumgarner were all better than you at that point. They were better. And Bochy made the right decision and it helped you win a World Series.
But he's being honest.
Selfish.
It's not about that.
I don't mind the honesty, but it's a little weak when you admit that, like, hey, man, I was rooting against these guys to lose a World Series, knowing that that World Series was going to be the first the Giants ever won in San Francisco.
Hey, but
that's a little selfish.
That probably made him more want him to lose because it was going to be, if they won, it was going to be historic, and it was.
And he dropped a line in there that kind of just, I said, you know what, Barry, I'm going to give you a pass on this one. My ego was in control. Come on, man. We've all had those moments. And I believe Shasky and Covey had him in the butcher shop talking about his new book where he mentioned this. I'm going to just say this, Steiny. My kid comes out the game at the Little League game, and I know it's not the same. I root for the damn team to lose because I'm that mad that my son or daughter is not playing. And I kind of like, dude, if people could read my mind, that'd be a dirt bag. But I get what he's saying, and I know Carson Wentz was rooting for the Eagles to lose before they cut. Come on, man.
You don't know that.
Would you root? That's what
I'm not a man of much character. Of course I would root against my team.
Carson Wentz, he was injured, though. Big difference.
That is true.
He couldn't play. Huge. So he was just like, I want my brothers to continue to win, just like Jason Peters.
Or
he got hurt
did
that
Carson
year.
Carson say, it's been a good story, but damn, lose this next game. This story needs to end.
No.
I'm the quarterback, and it's looking like you guys are okay without me. It's called pride.
It's bigger than you. It's bigger than that. And then that city in Philadelphia that never won a Super Bowl, I think Carson Wentz understood that. He was hurt. He was hurt.
But we still don't have the answer. You guys are assuming that he
I think Joe Montana's the better comp because
no doubt.
He thought he still could play. And when he went to Kansas City and played the Niners in that game, that was personal for Joe. So Joe probably felt like, dude, Steve, you're getting beat up by the Cowboys. I don't have to, you know, because Joe came back late in the season, lit up the lines, and all of a sudden the fan base, get Joe the team back. Man, Montana, maybe, but Zito, who is Barry Zito? Like, I respect him, but who is Barry Zito to do something like that? To admit that.
He was once the man. No doubt. He was once the man, dude.
You know what's, I remember talking about Zito back then, and I don't know how much he was making annually back then, but let's just say 20, 25 million. And I specifically remember saying I would not trade places with him. And I stand by that. And I'll tell you why, because after reading a lot of what he said in this book,
okay,
it's exactly like it reaffirmed what I was thinking. Like, he could not walk around San Francisco. He couldn't.
You believe that?
Yes, I do.
Yeah,
he had to walk around with his chin hitting the floor. He was kind of an embarrassment. He was the poster child for the worst contract in Giants history.
Yep.
I mean,
wow.
It was
so
bad.
So you're saying he felt guilty?
It was bad.
He didn't use a gun or a ski mask,
Monte? No, absolutely.
If I was on his team, Barry, you don't owe anybody Jack.
Put yourself in his spot.
Yeah, but not to the point to where you're saying I got to feel bad about myself going outside in the city
So you've had three terrible years in a row. You're the biggest bust in the history of the San Francisco Giants, but you're going to be able to go out and about in the city and just act normal. If you want to go out and party, he would have gotten killed. Dude, he was definitely...
Dude.
The laughing stock of the Bay Area.
You know, some drug guys down in a marina at the bars.
I didn't think of that.
Give us our money back. Yeah, there's no
guys
way.
Guys get that when they're at the top and they don't stink.
Now, I mean, I appreciate his honesty.
I do too.
But it's just, I just think in that moment, when you're in the World Series in the playoffs, sometimes you're just going to say, you know what, I wasn't good this year, but I'm going to root my teammates on where I've grinded through spring training with, grinded through the season with. I'm not on the roster. I'm gonna show Bochy that he made a mistake the next season. Now, it's easy for me to say behind this microphone, but I just don't, like, that sucks, man. Yeah. That sucks that a team that you're rooting against them, every pitch, like, ooh, strikeout. Ooh, what is
selfish.
He doing?
It was selfish.
Right. But
he admitted it, though, man.
I'm not crazy about, like, Barry Zito, but he's a good guy. And
a rich guy.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
But the fact that he thought about it to this extent puts him in a different league, really.
Opinion's changed of him. Or who are we to say?
I never disliked
judge him.
There was one thing I couldn't stand about Zito.
The music.
No.
Oh.
It was that when he stunk, he was always reluctant or did not want to go to the bullpen because he had this routine that he had to follow.
And I was like, routine
you
had
to follow,
seen.
You stink.
Let's slow down on that one.
The curveball. One of the best I've seen.
I don't know about the
Clayton
Kershaw on
line four. No doubt. Nothing to be ashamed about But
And you know what? To Barry Zito's credit, I think he made up for that. I really do.
I agree.
2012 season on the brink, down 3-1 to St. Louis. And then winning the first game against Verlander on game one of that World Series. Look, the contract and the tenure here, it was a bust. He was a bust with the Giants. But he gets a pass now because of what he did in 2012. And now he can go to the Marina and have a couple drinks with people saying, yes. Hey, Barry, thanks for 2012.
No doubt.
All good with us.
No doubt. I agree 100% there. Mr. Frisco. Mr. Frisco is in the city. What's up, man?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, well, quickly, Run TMC, that's the one.
Thank you.
That's the obvious one. And then as far as Zito, he's ruined it for himself coming back here because Giants fans don't forget. Any reunion that he comes back to, I think there's going to be a little sour taste.
Yeah, I wonder. I think, and thanks for the call, Mr. Frisco. I think you let that go if you're a fan. Now, have they lost in 2010 and maybe don't have any of their three World Series championships? And then it's a different story.
Right.
But the bottom line is the way it ended up, it was drawn up perfectly for Zito. It looked like he was done, wasn't on the 2010 roster, barely made the 12 roster, and then he ends up winning a game.
I'm laughing. I don't know what this happened, but the 5-1-0. Remember, Ralph Barbieri asked Zito to give some of the money back.
I have a vague recollection.
How you gonna ask him give some of the bread back? Who do you turn it into? I need to stop by the stadium.
You know, some of these gangsters on the radio, man. Mike Francesca told A-Rod, "You're just not a Yankee. Why don't you just sleep?" I said, "Damn, man, these guys are bold, man."
But,
who are you to tell me to go get some of the money back?
Well, that's my point.
How much do you want me to give back?
Right. Somebody can tell it exactly. Wow, so I didn't say why. What did you do to deserve?
You got to have enough money to give back some money. So fit there. Let's go to John. John's in Concord. Hey, John.
Hey, you guys do a great job.
Sweet.
Hey, I was thinking. The Purple People Eaters won.
Yeah.
Minnesota Vikings and the Killer Bees. But what about Oil Can Boy?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Oh, wow.
That is a good one.
Yeah.
Hey, the Purple People Eaters, was that the entire Minnesota Vikings team or their defensive front?
D front.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I think it came to me.
D front. And then the Rams had one with Merlin Olsen and
Grissom Foursome.
Yeah, look at that. Oh, that was
some Deacon Jones.
Yeah, that's a good one.
The splash, because it's threes, they can shoot, and you're living the Bay. Run TMC doesn't win because Run DMC, Stani, as you know, out of New York. So if they had been in the Knicks, then Run TMC would be right up there. But the fact that the logistics don't add up, you lose.
They had a hamburger named after them by McDonald's. That's a national chain. I don't know if you know this or not, but McDonald's has sold a few hamburgers.
I don't remember that.
I don't either.
Don't you remember?
No. Give me a Run TMC.
It was Tim, Mitch, and Chris, and they had a Tim, Mitch, and Chris burger, and the commercial had them arguing over which name should be first on the burger. Now, I'm pretty sure it was only sold out here in Northern California.
I can see you two arguing over that.
Who?
You and Bonte.
What a
burger. My name should be first on the burger. Just put it in there.
Bonte and I might be talking about whose name should be first. You'd go behind our back to the boss.
Right.
Oh. Yeah, I'm different.
I would just rather have my old burger.
Pull an Antonio Brown.
Patties and cheese on it with extra onions. I don't know about that.
I know you guys are really playing. It's good stick.
The fab.
You would watch your old burger, Koo. I get it. We all got to share a burger, but I really don't like pickles.
I'm different.
That's
good stuff.
Fab Five, that's a great nickname. We were talking about, this is a great one. Uh-oh. Will Clark and Kevin Mitchell, Pacific Sock Exchange.
The poster was really good. They were in the suits with the eye black and the stock market in the background. Yeah, that was pretty
good.
That's
up there.
Well, this all started by Guru saying there's no better nickname for an NBA backcourt than Splash Brothers.
And that was a landslide.
Probably right.
Yeah. So we opened it up to everything.
We did.
Another one here on the text line talking about Barry Zito from 415. Oh, forgot about this. Drew Bledsoe. Did he hit it with Tom Brady? Stole his thunder?
There's no doubt. Let's get Drew on the horn.
Drew, yeah, I know. Because Drew saved him in the AFC Championship game to go to the Super Bowl. Remember, Brady got hurt.
I understand that, man. You're not being a hater, but it's natural.
We all have that.
Somebody's coming down my road because of the Little League example.
That was hard.
When I feel my son shouldn't have come out the game, you can't say it. But deep inside, I'm like, I hope they blow this game.
I hope the parents aren't listening. Nobody's going to want to sit next to you at that game.
I keep it inside.
You got a little LeVar ball.
I don't know.
I got a lot of LeVar. I relate with LeVar, man.
That's a little sticky, man. Yeah. It's kids, man.
I'm undefeated. Never lost.
Where's he been?
Oh, you see him yesterday?
No. He called
Goldie Lonzo Ball. Did you see that video?
What he called your favorite player?
What?
His father called his son damaged goods.
Where can I see this?
Dude, it's all over the internet.
It's called the internet.
That's nice.
Yeah. Let's go to Don in San Francisco. Hey, Don.
Hey, what's up, fellas? I just wanted to add in, chime in on the Niners doing well.
Yeah,
fans, we deserve this, but I'm going to call them the Smash Brothers with Quan Alexander and Fred Warner, baby. That's the new one. Put that on the shirt, Trick. Bye.
Thanks. Apparently, they're already the Hot Boys.
Yeah, I thought they were the Hot Boys. The Smash Brothers.
I thought that was their kickoff
team. The Cowboys have the Hot Boys.
I like Smash Bros. That could work.
Yeah, but it's a ripoff of the Bash Bros.
It is.
510 is coming in with Phi Slamma Jamma. That's a great one. Clyde the Glide is in Clyde the Glide Drexler.
Oh,
how about the Hog?
Yeah, that was
line,
good.
Yeah.
But everybody's
Nasty
got a farm.
Boys from the 408. Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah,
Cincinnati
the Nasty
Reds relievers.
Yeah, they were good.
Brian's in the East Bay. Hey, Brian.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up?
I got a nickname.
All right.
San Antonio Spurs Twin Towers.
That is true, although I've got to.
The original Sanchin, Hakeem Olajuwon.
Yeah, I've got to break it.
There.
You know what?
That's
you guys
original.
Can do that, so I won't seem as old.
Yeah.
So even you guys know
there
that.
You go, Mark.
You know,
I was just about
to say
it.
Yeah, the original Twin Towers, Hakeem Olajuwon and Ralph Sampson.
When did they lose to the Celtics? Was it 86 or 84?
84.
Hold on.
They lost to the Lakers in 86 when Magic.
No. Celtics won 81, 84,
Rockets
86.
Beat? Yeah.
81, I believe,
they beat
Houston.
Yep.
84, I think, was also Houston. I think they only beat the Lakers once in the series.
Oh, 84, they beat the Lakers. 86, they beat the Rockets.
I got
I
one.
Remember. That's when Tragic Johnson.
They called him Tragic.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's
84,
right.
Yep.
That's
Sampson
right.
hit the.
Yep.
The
86, yeah.
Right.
They beat the Lakers. Right. Yep.
Showtime Lakers. You're in Hollywood.
Team, though.
No, but still, you're in Hollywood and you play with. Pizzazz.
How you feeling right now, Goo? You feeling strong?
No, really, I feel like we need a show meeting because the rat on the table is we went 1-3 with our picks.
Okay.
No, I thought we went
but
2-4,
are you
2-2.
Are you feeling strong now in terms of taking criticism, perhaps? If you're not, I won't take the call.
Oh, no. Bring it on.
Are you sure?
Yeah. When you talk about things, that's how you get better.
All right. Let's go to Jay CeeLo. He's in San Francisco. Jay CeeLo, how are you, man?
Yeah, y'all, look, hey, Guru, I got to disagree with you, bro. If your son not playing because your son not good enough, you can't be mad at the team. You got to be mad at your son. You got to tell him to be better. All right, you can't be teaching him bad habits. Everything you do, you got to do it righteous.
Hey, that's wisdom, and you are right. But a lot of times there's politics and favoritism. If my son wasn't good enough and he wasn't playing, man, I'm telling you right now, that's a total different story. But when you know there's politics involved, this was my Barry Zito moment. Nobody knew it. I didn't act out. My son didn't know. But I was hoping the team would lose because Lil Durrell should have been in the game or Donovan or Milan. You know
what
I mean?
That's so wrong.
No, but I'm just – so it ain't that they're not good enough or they're not getting time, Stoney. That's different. This was like, how you take him out the game? He was pitching – they got no runs. What are you doing? Oh, your son needs to pitch too.
I mean,
he comes in and gives up 4 runs. The kids are crying. Lil Durrell asked me why'd he come out, and I can't really tell him why he came out.
Well,
I
get the sentiment, but you actually are rooting just like
nobody knows. But me,
well, now
they know
now.
They know now.
We'll be following Goo's career now. We'll know exactly when Goo's upset.
Hey, you better bring the fruit snacks and Gatorade for like the first 5
well,
games.
Well, Little League's over.
Well,
it's just that the only thing I would say is, first of all, I I get what you're saying. I'm not giving you grief. Yeah. But, like, your son goes out, and then just because of something like the coach likely did, now you're rooting against your son's teammates.
That's all.
That's the only part.
And I'm rooting against the coach.
Of course you are.
But I guess the kids are
part
of
that. Of course you are.
Yeah. But nobody knows it.
You're rooting for the coach to get kicked out, and then the squad go on a 12-0 run.
There you go. Unbelievable.
Of course.
So I relate to Zito, but he admitted it. And Shasky, they had to ask him the hard questions. Or they may not have, because he was probably just eager to say, that's probably one of my lowest moments. But I will say this. I didn't know it was that bad for him to where you're saying he couldn't walk around the city.
He couldn't.
With all that money.
Think about it. 7-year, $126 million contract. You're thinking, okay, to justify that contract, you have to win at least 2 to 3 Cy Youngs. Wow. Got to help this team make the playoffs. You got to be in the league leaders in ERA for at least 5 seasons. And it just went awry quickly for Zito, man. Could not walk around here. A lot of booze for Zito.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that he couldn't. It's that he didn't want to. Why would he? I mean, it's just you don't feel good about yourself. We said the steel curtain, didn't we?
No, but isn't that the whole defense?
That's the front four.
Because
it's the steel city.
Gotcha. Yep. No, that's a great
Mean Joe Green.
Jack Lambert.
Dwight Hicks.
Jack Lambert.
Was Jack...
Sure,
Lambert was a linebacker.
L.C. Greenwood. Yeah.
Yep. And Lambert.
And
was it Ham?
I can't think of the
one
fourth,
was missing the two fronts. It was Lambert or Ham.
I thought Lambert was a linebacker, though.
Yeah, I thought Ham and Lambert were linebackers.
We got Google.
Anyway, no, when we also have the text line.
Yeah,
fourth
a lot of people coming in now saying, Guru, you're right. I've been there.
Well, let's see what Frank and Tracy says. Hey, Frank.
Hey, what's up, guys? Guru, I kind of agree with you to a certain extent. Because I got 3 boys that have been in Little League, too, so I know the politics.
Oh, man.
But you got to also understand, you know, the young players, they have a pitch count. Maybe they were trying to save them for the next game or whatever. They want to save that arm. Who knows? But I understand is all I'm trying to say. I agree with you to a certain extent, but you don't know the full parameters of why it was done.
How about Zito? Do you agree with Zito?
I can't really touch on that too much, man. I don't keep up with baseball that much.
Thanks, Frank. Appreciate the call. Dwight White.
Ernie Holmes.
Right.
Ernie Holmes.
No Hicks? Yeah.
That is
Joe Green. I guess I was wrong on Hicks.
Joe Green, Ernie Holmes, Dwight White, and L.C. Greenwood.
Huh. All right.
I would have never got Ernie Holmes.
Because Lambert and Ham getting left off.
They're linebackers, though.
Yeah.
I think it's human nature.
But the Splash Brothers still number one right now.
I'm saying human nature to Rudy Gates.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. What about your jobs? You were a writer.
Mm-hmm.
What if somebody wrote a column and they were talking while they wrote the column? You'd probably want them to
write a bad column.
Steiny.
I know exactly what Zito's talking about.
That's just from my little high school and college career. Yeah.
You think I rooted for Brad Markey? When I saw him at the scores table 6 minutes into the game against Lebanon Valley?
That's what I'm saying.
Of course I didn't.
Oh, man.
I was hoping he'd take bad shots. I was hoping he'd turn it over.
I get it.
Hell, I was Barry Zito squared. All right, 888-95. Guy, go ahead.
Now, last one.
Yeah.
And I think this may be a tie. The greatest show on turf. I got it from the text line, and they were the greatest show on turf.
They were good.
All right, we come back. Get back to a little 49ers. 49ers football. They got the Pittsburgh Steelers coming into town. They have an opportunity to go 3-0 for the first time since
1989.
And that'll be brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty. Coming up in 45 minutes at 1:45 every Monday through Friday, we'll have Last Call. That's when you get to have the last word on the hottest topic of the day. Throughout September, Best Call, you'll get a Google Home Mini on us. Take Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on the go. Just say, hey, Google, play 95.7 The Game on your Android or Google Home device. 1:45, Last Call. That's when you get the last word and a chance to win a Google Home Mini. A couple good nicknames coming in here. We were just throwing nicknames around, some of the best nicknames. How about the Marx Brothers?
No, the Mark Duper, Mark Clayton.
Monsters of the
Midway. Nice.
Monsters of the Midway.
Pretty damn
the
good.
Bears.
Right. Pretty damn good.
And Orange Crush, the Denver Broncos.
And Bonte had one more by the Broncos.
The no-fly zone with Aqib Talib and Harris.
You know what that means, Donnie.
They won Super Bowl 50. No-fly zone, by the way. I apologize to all the listeners.
You got
that?
Yeah, Stoney's going to do it.
Bad information. Go ahead, Stoney.
You got the noise?
Bad information.
No,
throw a flag.
No.
Bad information. I said it so confidently that the Niners, the last time they were 3-0 was 1989.
Much, so it was odd.
It was 1998, which is bad on me, especially when I brought it up the Mooch yesterday. I got the road games. They won two straight road games to start the season in 1989.
Oh,
so 3-0 since 99.
Mooch did say that.
I'm no John Dickinson. I apologize.
Now you're being.
I'm going to actually come clean also.
What'd you do?
I knew the stat too, but as I started to say, first time they can go 3-0, I knew it was 89 or 98, right. 89. I wasn't 100% sure. So I just stopped and I pointed to Bonte because I was like, he'll probably know because I just didn't want to be wrong, especially after my after, you know, making a mistake.
Hey, we're not perfect, people. We're not perfect.
Exactly. Exactly. We're not. All right. Where are the 49ers right now in the pecking order of the NFL? Are they a top 10 team in all the NFL right now?
They're for sure on my list top 10. But I kind of did the list top five.
Well, let's do this.
Okay.
Come up with top five teams in the NFL, and we'll see what teams show up. Because we're going to have I think we should start at one just because we're all going to have the Patriots, right?
Right. Number one.
All right. Patriots we have as number one. I got Chiefs at number two.
I got Dallas at number two.
Well, let's talk about that.
I think the Cowboys are more complete than the Kansas City Chiefs on defense. And I'm just saying, Bonte, what I saw from the Chiefs and Mahomes Sunday was beautiful. But on the other side of the ball, I believe with Jalen Smith and the Cowboy, Van Der Esch, I just think the Cowboys are more complete on both sides of the ball than the Chiefs. I believe the Patriots.